Erica and Scott, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Erica, we're going to start with you. We're going to start with a Republican, in quotes, maybe, Wendell Willkie, his presidential run in 1944. An interesting case here, both party-wise and also in his outcome. Tell us about the primary and Wendell Willkie.
So Wendell Willkie, he was a lawyer, and he had worked with a lot of utility companies throughout the 1930s, and he had been basically a Democrat. And he ran in the 1940 election, and he did very, very well. He lost to FDR in the end, but it didn't really dispel his presidential hopes. And so he decided that he was going to run again. But between 1940 and 1944, things kind of changed. World War II was going on. The Republicans didn't really want to get involved, but Willkie thought it was a good idea for us to get involved. And so he decided he was going to run for office as a Republican, though, as you said, in quotation marks, because he had really been a Democrat and he saw an opportunity in the Republican Party. And so he basically staked his entire political career on the 1944 Wisconsin primary.
And why Wisconsin?
Not very many states at that time actually had primaries, and primaries were a way for candidates who were not very popular with the party leadership to prove that they were popular with the people. And so Willkie thought, hey, I did great in Wisconsin in 1940. He basically won the entire state with the exception of the Milwaukee area. So he thought, I'm just going to go back there. People in Wisconsin love me. So he traveled around the state campaigning. It didn't really go as well as he thought, though large numbers of people came out to see him. Our Republican governor wasn't that impressed with him. The state Republican Party decided not to endorse him. And so it really did seem like Willkie had a chance, though, because he was so popular at these rallies. But by the time the election actually came around in April of that year, he ended up losing and losing badly. He was out of the race, and he kind of ended his political career. Something else that kind of happened during his time in Wisconsin is that he developed a throat infection that kind of plagued his campaign and eventually leads to his death before the general election that year. So being a candidate can be harmful for many reasons.
It's a rough road. Yeah, we've been hearing the horse candidates this election cycle. We're at the point where they are. Their voices are starting to give out, and this is a really cautionary tale.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't say that all of our candidates are destined Willkie's fate to die of this kind of cardiac event that was precipitated by his throat infection. But it was his time in Wisconsin and the constant campaigning that really led to his ill health.
Well, Scott, we're going to turn to you now, and we're going to talk about JFK's run in 1960. Set the stage for us. What was it like when he was campaigning here?
So, you know, he kind of did a lot of things that at the time were fairly new, like having an in-house pollster that, you know, worked for the campaign. And of course, you know, during the 1960 election, he was famous for, you know, his effective use of television, especially in the debates against Richard Nixon later. But in the primary election, one of the big things that he was trying to accomplish was to basically show people that anti-Catholic sentiment would not, you know, sink a Catholic candidate. And so he was really counting on Wisconsin and other states to demonstrate that. And in Wisconsin, he won, but the vote was sort of more divided along kind of neatly religious lines. But in West Virginia, which is more heavily Protestant, he also won. And that's considered a pretty significant step for him.
So there was this religious aspect to his time here, but he was also, he's pioneering in the way that he used the media and allowed access to the media. What was that like for him?
Well, for one thing, he allowed access to a documentary filmmaker named Robert Drew, who created a film called Primary, and that's considered sort of an influential political documentary. And, you know, it was also interesting because at the time, you know, we hadn't yet developed this extensive season of open primaries and closed primaries and caucuses in every state. So Wisconsin was kind of relatively early on. And in fact, you know, at the time, you could still be a viable candidate and not necessarily actually participate in these primaries. Lyndon Johnson, who, you know, at the time was also in the Senate and also was trying to get the nomination, you know, he didn't bother with the Wisconsin primary. He just, you know, counted on being able to get enough delegates at the convention.
Erica, you're nodding your head. Did you want to add something about the earliness?
Well, I was just going to say that Wendell Willkie actually didn't participate in any primaries in 1940 either, and he easily won the Republican nomination. So I think it just shows that the primary and the importance of it is kind of a more recent development, just because a lot of states didn't really have it. And so, you know, all the excitement and attention that we pay to it now is kind of a more recent thing.
So not only didn't you have that many opportunities to partake in primaries, the Wisconsin was actually considered, I guess, sort of early back then. And so, Scott, let's go back to you. So how did that Kennedy turn in 1960, how did that change the way that campaigns are run today?
Well, I mentioned polling for one thing. And, you know, he certainly wasn't the first candidate to have, you know, to have a pollster in his employ, but it became a lot more common after that election. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who kind of think his, you know, his campaign's approach in the primary and the general election in 1960 kind of informed the way that modern political campaigns operate. You know, obviously he had a lot of money to draw on being from a wealthy family in the race. And so that allowed him to do things like hire pollsters and, you know, buy a lot of TV spots and things like that.
We're talking right now with Scott Gordon and Erica Janik, both WPR colleagues here. Erica Janik is a producer for Wisconsin Life as well and a historian. And we're talking about the role of Wisconsin in the primaries throughout history. And Scott, we're going to stick with you. Tell us about Jimmy Carter and his time in the state in the 1976 primary. What was happening at the time to set the stage for that primary?
Well, at the time, the Democrats were getting ready for a very crowded primary season with a lot of people trying to get the nomination. And part of this was, you know, people wanted to seize the moment of kind of going after a weakened a Republican Party in the wake of Watergate and Nixon's resignation and things like that. And Jimmy Carter actually spoke to this panel of journalists in La Crosse in 1975, and it was actually broadcast on the regional newsmakers program out there, and you can still hear that panel discussion on their site. And the argument that he made in talking with them was that he could kind of pull together all these different threads of the Democratic Party to, you know, to create a strong opposition to this weakened GOP. You know, he talks about how he approaches civil rights and integration and tried to take a balanced approach, you know, somewhat controversial approach in Georgia as governor there. You know, he makes these kind of broad overtures to fiscal conservatism and talking about things like having a federal balanced budget, which is not something you'd hear a lot of Democrats on the campaign trail talk about today. So it's really interesting kind of what he's doing there. And, you know, I kind of wrote a little thing about it. And what I said was that you just really hear Jimmy Carter, the shrewd politician at that news conference.
And we're going to fast forward now to 2012, the primary with Mitt Romney. And this is a rare case in recent history anyway, where Wisconsin was a big deal. Why was it? And what happened during that primary?
Well, it was kind of considered, a lot of people considered it sort of a last stand for Rick Santorum, who at that point, you know, had been Mitt Romney's closest rival throughout most of the primaries and, you know, had won some states. You know, even though throughout the campaign, Mitt Romney was kind of increasingly dismissive of his campaign. But Santorum lost in Wisconsin and then, you know, shortly after that dropped out of the race. And I think it was kind of considered a crucial turning point where the, you know, Republican electorate sort of solidified a bit more behind Mitt Romney, who, you know, was talked about as someone who, you know, Republicans were sort of hesitant to embrace in a lot of ways because he was considered more moderate and kind of less charismatic than a lot of the people who've been, you know, shaping the Republican Party for the last 8 years.
And Erica, let's bring you back in on this. Looking back through the lens of history, what strikes you when you compare the early presidential primaries with what we've got going on today?
Well, I think one of the things to keep in mind, particularly as people are voting, is that we've really only been able to vote in presidential primaries since 1912. This is a rather recent development. And I think that the importance of the primary is something that is much greater now than it was at that time. The presidential primary in Wisconsin was something that our governor, Robert La Follette, had fought for. He really made it kind of a centerpiece of his progressive campaign for the governorship. He pushed through this legislation because before that, candidates were basically picked by whoever gave the party the most money. You would just pick your friends or, you know, who promised to give you the most things. And Robert La Follette thought that this was a very corrupt system. And so he succeeded in pushing through a state referendum for a direct primary in 1904. And we actually had our first state primary for state-level offices in 1906. And that didn't come to the presidential stage until 1912. And so I think one of the things that's very different about the primary now, as I said, is that it just has a greater importance, that more states have these early kind of voting, whether it's a caucus or a primary. This wasn't the case in the early part of the 20th century. We've really only had a voice in the early part of our election in the last few decades.
Eric and Scott, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.